Father, I thank you, Lord. Every time I stand in the message of the Lord, I declare that the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. And I thank you, Lord, that that light will shine in the hearts of your people today. Light is sown for the righteous. Hallelujah. And the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Well, Lord, let the light increase. Let our light increase. In the name of the Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things out of this word of God, and open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and let our hearts receive understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. Today, discernment and the gift of discerning of spirits. Why is this important in as part of this series? Well, we've been talking about, you know, knowing the voice of the Lord. Jesus, he said many things about that himself, you know, as a good shepherd, you know, he began to instruct us that the sheep will only hear, you know, the voice of the shepherd, and they will not follow, you know, another voice or strange voices, because they don't know the voice of strangers. Praise the Lord, you know, so it is really important that part of it, Jesus's message, you know, teaching in John chapter 10 is really very important for us to understand what he is saying. Let's read a couple of verses there. We'll read John chapter 10. We'll read verses 4 and 5, and then we'll read, you know, verse 27. You know, it's talking about the good shepherd. You say, when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, that's very important. We've been talking about the voice of the Lord, you know, and the voice of his word for the last few days. And the stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him. But they know not the voice of strangers. Well, let's pause, you know, and do some introspection on that one. When you hear a voice, are you able to discern that it is the voice of the Lord? And if it isn't, what do you do? This scripture, Jesus is saying here, they will flee. They're not going to be there enjoying it or entertaining it or compromising with it. They will flee from strangers because they don't know his voice. You recognize that he's trying to deceive them or trying to trick them, and they will flee. Well, I mean, it looks like sometimes sheep do even better than us, you know, because sometimes we don't know how to flee. You know, we're there for months and years and so forth, you know, and we just stay with the wrong voice. Well, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. And then he said, we jump down here to verse 27 and see what he says. He said, well, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. I love that assurance. They shall never perish. I give to them eternal life. Glory to God. You know, that's a declaration, a bold statement that Jesus made concerning his sheep. You know, he said, look, you know, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither can anyone pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hands. And I and my Father are one. That's right. Because first he said, why did he say that? Because first he said, no one can pluck them out of my hands. Then next he said, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hands. And people are saying, well, whose hands can they not plug them out of? Yours or your father's? Well, you say, okay, fine. My father and I won. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just amazing how the Lord will bring these things. But let's talk about discernment, you know, which goes with, you know, learning and knowing the voice, you know, of the Lord. And how do you discern? What's discernment? And what's the gift of discerning of spirits? And I want to bring a differentiation between these things today. Now, we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, it says, look, There comes a time in your life when you should know certain things. When you were a child, Paul said, you should do, you know, it was okay if you did childish things. But when you're a grown man, you know, you better put away, you know, childish things. Now, the child, when that does childish things, it's not necessarily evil. That's just who they are. They're a child. So they do childish things. Child may go around, you know, pull something down from the table. They even break it, you know, not because they meant to do evil. They're just childish. You know, that's what they do. They don't realize that. Don't touch that thing. Leave that thing alone. You know, but as you grow up, you're supposed to put away childish things. So here in Hebrews, we're told that, look, there was a time that you were children and that was okay. But when you ought to have become, you know, teachers yourself, you still have need that one should teach you the basic things, and you're still like babies. So let's read it in Hebrews chapter 5, starting from verse 11. He said, look, we have many things to say to you. He was talking about Melchizedek, you know, which are hard to be ordered because you're dull of hearing, he said. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Teacher has gone through, you know, a lot of things. They themselves have learned and they've become, you know, a subject matter expert, and they can teach it to others. You know, for when there was the time that you ought to be teachers, you still have need that one should be teaching you instead of you being the teacher. You are still, you know, learning. You know, I said, well, still teaching you the principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk. That's a baby. And not of strong meat. Now, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, you say baby, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, you know, of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use. Now, the discernment that he's talking about here, spiritual discernment, the ability to comprehend something that is not immediately obvious. You know, see behind the curtains, if you will. You know, now, this kind of discernment can actually be developed and learned by practice. I'm not talking about the gift of discerning of spirits just yet. I'll make a differentiation between these two things. You know, this is discernment. Discernment, which can be learned. Anybody can learn this. If they practice well enough, you know, some people say, well, you can smell something a mile away. Well, they practice well enough. They can figure it out. They've got experience. You put two and two together, understand certain things. They know certain things. And they can, you know, figure it out. And that's discernment. But they can improve it by practice. They have their senses exercised. By using their senses, you know, over time, you know, they learn discernment. That's what this scripture is saying. So that's actually possible. Now, I'm going to talk about some things which, you know, discernment is not, and what it is. You know, but by the time we get to the discerning of spirits, this background that I'm laying here will also help us. And I will talk about discerning of spirits this morning as well. Now, being critical is not the same thing as discernment. If you're critical, you just criticize everything. You know, that's kind of a, you know, just judging everything. You can be critical of everything. And that's not necessarily discernment. You're just critical. You know, all you see is what's wrong. That's being critical. You know, that's not a good thing. We can actually learn to disengage from that as well. You know, and some people are critical because, you know, they have certain eyes that can see things certain way. They have certain minds that are sharp certain ways, and they may not be patient or tolerant of certain things. You know, that may be a trait, depending on the family you grew up in. You know, family that I grew up in had that problem. And I had that problem too. Because, you know, I mean, everything had to be perfect. I mean, people who are perfectionists, It tend to be like that. You know, when you see something, it just doesn't look right. And you're able to see what's not right, even when others can't see it. Well, that may or may not necessarily be discernment. You might just be critical. Now, some part of that can be good if you can train it, you know, but if you don't train it, it can become a problem, you know, and then you just, you know, people will perceive you as just being critical, you know, so, but you can train that. And, over time, you may, you know, do better with it. So you don't need to be finding fault with everything. You know, that's just being critical. That's not discernment. You know, discernment is not only for discerning bad stuff. It can also be for good. You can discern good. You know, that's what he says. I mean, the assessing exercise to discern good and evil. So discernment is not only evil. So if all you see is evil, that's being critical. That's not discernment only. Here that we read in Hebrews 5:13 said you can discern good and evil. You can see what's wrong. You can also see what's right. And if you only see what's wrong, then that's not discernment. Discernment means you can see both good and evil. I hope that's clear from that verse we read. You see both good and evil. So, but the propensity to only see evil, the propensity to only see what's wrong and nothing else, never see anything right, well, that's being critical. And that's not a good thing. We can disengage ourselves from those practices. Again, discernment is not suspicion. So I've talked about discernment is not being critical. Now I'm talking about discernment is not suspicion. You know, suspicion is just, you know, the instance of thinking or guessing or second guessing something, you know, without any proof. You just think that that's the way it is. You have no proof, but you think evil anyway. You know, so, you know, that's not discernment. Discernment, you will be able to figure it out. And you, when you check it out, you'll find that it's actually grounded in facts. You know, it's grounded because it's by reason of use. It's like sound judgment. You know, they're grounded in facts, you know, and it's not just you go off, you know, just shooting from the hip, as they say, you know. So, you know, that, but suspicion is a kind of mistrusting, you know, so, you don't trust anybody, suspect everything, you know, and when somebody has done either good or evil, you suspect them anyway. Or, you know, when you heard something, then you suspect them. You have no proof. And that's suspicion. That's not discernment. You know, now, most people have, you know, some form of this discernment, one way or another. You know, but whether we use it right or not, that's the thing. But we can train it. Having your senses exercised, you can train it. You can be trained in most things. Now, the difference between, you know, natural things and the spiritual gifts of God is that you can acquire some of this natural training require some of these natural traits through training. You can never acquire the gifts of the Spirit through training. You can be trained on how to use them better, but you can't acquire them through training. They are given by the Holy Spirit, you know, because you didn't learn it, you're giving. Now, once you have it, though, you can be trained how to better use it. Someone can help you, you know, get you better, give you some better tools. But how you acquire it in the first place, it's a gift from God. You know, you can't, you know, acquire it just because you're learning about it. You went to seminary school or you sat down like a prophet and learned to be a prophet. You can't do it. You know, have school of prophecy and all of these things. You cannot receive the giftings of the Spirit of God by being trained. Now, what they should be training them to do is once you have their gifting, right, train you on how to discover that you have the gift. That's good. And then when you have the gift, they train you how to better use it. That's good. But you can't be trained on how to acquire it. You either have it or you don't have it. Now, you can desire it. The scripture says desire spiritual gifts. So you can desire it, but God is the one that gives. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes to everyone as he wills, you know, according to everyone's several ability. He knows what you can, and he knows what he wants you to do, and he gives. Nobody can impart, even when he says impart to you on some spiritual gift, it's really to help you, you know, spark what's already there. Only God can give it. Nobody else can give it, you know, so, but if you have it, we can help you discover it. And, you know, by learning under someone that's experienced, you can help develop, you know, how to better use it. You know, for instance, let me give you a for instance. Some people early in when they get baptized, the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of prophecy, for instance, or speaking in tongues and this and that. It might be misused because they don't know how to use it. They think that, oh, you speak in tongues, you just jump up in the middle of somebody preaching and then you start speaking in tongues and then disrupt everything, you know. Well, that's because they don't have the training. When they are trained, they will learn that, oh, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Somebody can train them that. Show them the scriptures. Show them that, look, you have to be orderly. God is not the order of, author of confusion and so on. You know, also, you know, when people at first start to receive the gift of prophecy and so forth, I mean, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're shaking, they're vibrating and all of that. Well, you know, they can be trained, you know, control all of that, you know. So now the inspiration of what God's coming from them is from God, but the delivery is human. This is what people don't understand. You know, you can be inspired by God with a word from God, but how you deliver it, that's completely human. I mean, if you are eloquent, if you are polished, you may be able to, you know, say the thing smoothly and it's even poetic and you have good language, you know, and, I mean, you're a good speaker because you know, you're already a good speaker. And then when you have prophecy, which is vocal, you can, you know, bring that word and it sounds very smooth and it sounds very nice because you're a good speaker anyway, you know, so that part of it, you know, is human. That's not God. God gave the message. How you deliver it is human. The inspiration is divine. The delivery is human. The two people might receive the same word and they may deliver in different ways. One may be shaking, jumping up and down, vibrating in their body, falling down because they are not trained. Another one will be calm, collected, and just give the message. So you can train people to do those things. I've seen people and I've tried to help many people. And they start to shake and vibrate and so forth because they think they are prophesying. You say, well, you know, that's not necessarily God. It's just you. And you know why that happens sometimes? Let me just drop this. When I was a young man, I learned about, you know, I was learning physics and so forth. And then, you know, we learned about, you know, what can be a conductor of electricity and what can be a resistor. Well, a conductor, if you have a metal or something like that, or substance, you know, through which electricity can pass freely, it's called a conductor. Well, the one that electricity cannot pass through freely is called a resistor. Well, at least our body is a resistor to electricity, so to speak. Can't pass through freely. That's why if you put your hand live wire, you will be shocked. And you might even be thrown several feet away and your body will vibrate because you are resisting that flow of power and energy. Well, that's what happens when people, the Holy Spirit come upon them and the flesh is in the way and they start to vibrate and so forth. That's not really the Holy Spirit. That's just the flesh that's in the way. And they can be trained with that. Now, you know, you can be a conduit. It's like a pipe, you know, the pipe is kinked up. And so forth, then there'll be all kinds of pressure build up inside that thing. But if the pipe is clean, get rid of the calcium deposits and get rid of all that stuff, the Holy Spirit, just the water can just flow through freely. Now, somebody that is trained, you know, or, you know, have the senses exercised, can be natural, even spiritual senses. They can just let that power flow through smoothly and they don't have to jerk and scream and yell. So, but the one that's jerking, screaming, and yelling, it doesn't mean that they were not inspired by God. It just means they need a little help. So, you know, we need to understand these things. You know, some people understand, some people don't. I've understood it for many, many years, and I've tried to train people and help them through it. That, you know, when the Lord, you know, tells you something, you know, be cool, you know, and so on. Also, while we are on the subject of delivering a message, you know, how you deliver the message may also be a function of language. You know, somebody, you know, I can give an example. I can just say, you know, go and get my bag from my office. And I use examples like this all the time. That may be the message. I can say that to two people. And you say, hey, well, repeat what I said. I mean, they may repeat what you said later on, or how I actually they enact it. Somebody may say, go and get my bag from the office, just like you said it. Another person may say, well, he said, you know, you go downstairs and you find his office next to the laundry room. And when you get in there, you look around, you see his bag under the table. But they're saying the same thing, and then bring it to me. But one person put some embellishments in the thing, and described it, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Another person just said it the way they said it. And there are many flavors of how you can say that thing. You know, such is interpretation of tongues. It's not translation. It's interpretation. You know, two people may interpret the same tongue in a different way. You know, they just interpret it. They give meaning to the thing. It's not word for word translation. It's just, they give meaning to the thing. And it's the same thing. You know, eventually get the bag from the office, but you know, the way one describes it is different from the another. Now, some of those things can be trained, how you use that gift better, you know, but the gift itself comes from God. So when we're talking about discernment, this is the part that can be learned. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, one of them is the gift of discerning of spirits. That is acquired by the gifting of God. Cannot be taught on how to acquire it. Now, once you acquire it, though, it can be taught how to use it. You also can be taught how to learn that you have it, how to identify that you have. Those things can be taught. You can teach around it, you know, and so on. But you can't, by teaching, give it to somebody. That's not possible. It's a gift of God. Now, so let's talk more about, you know, how discernment works. And then in a bit, I'll talk about discerning of spirits. Again, you know, you can see, you know, somebody doing something or saying something or behaving a certain way, you know, by reason of use, because you've had experience. That's what reason of use means. You've done it before. You practice with it. You've used it. You know, you can understand. You can see and you can figure it out. And well, you know, they're not doing things right. And you also use sound judgment. And you know that, you know, that's not right. Well, all of that can actually be taught and trained. Now, and that's, a lot of people can do that. Many people can have that. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, though, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Not because you went to school, not because you learned, you know, all the Hebrew words and the Greek words and Aramaic words and you know all these words and so forth. That's not the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is the chapter that really describes it, you know. In the book of Romans, it talks about it briefly too, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where he really describes it. And he really breaks it down, you know, and he says, look, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus a curse. And no man can call Jesus, say that Jesus is the Lord. That's right. Except by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Now, listen to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives these things. And he begins to say, you know, to another is given by the same Spirit. To another is given this by the same Spirit. And so on and so forth. So it's the Spirit of God that gives these gifts. You can't get them from somebody else. You know, even though Paul was saying that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit came upon, yeah, the anointing can help, you know, you to, you know, be inspired. But the gifting itself comes from God. You can't do it otherwise. You know, what is my business giving a gift of the Spirit to somebody else? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not the gift of Pastor Yara or whatever. So the only Spirit that can give those gifts. Now, I can help them. You know, if I discover that they have the gift, but they don't know how to use it, or if they're struggling trying to figure out how to discover their giftings of God in their life, we can help them figure it out. You know, but the gift itself comes from God. I want to make sure we understand that. You know, along this place where it's talking about, and it breaks, you know, it breaks it down here. It's word of wisdom. Now, this is not the gift of wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. It is the word of wisdom. People confuse this and say the gift of wisdom. No, it doesn't say that. The gift of word of wisdom. There's a reason why it says it that way. It's a word. It comes, you know, it comes with the word and its instruction. It's wisdom, the word. It's not just wisdom in general. No. And a word of knowledge. It's, you know, it's a word. You know, God gives you, it's an inspiration to just know something by the word that is dropped. You know, it can be dropped in your ears. It can be dropped in your mind. You know, we've been talking about, you know, how God speaks to you, speaking your mind, speaking your ear and all these things. But it's a word. It's not just the gift of knowledge. It's a gift of word of knowledge. And it's specific for specific situations. You know, and the person that has the gift of word of wisdom, it doesn't necessarily have wisdom for everything in their lives. You know, they may still do foolish things. But when the gift of the word of wisdom is operating in their lives, you know, they may be able to accurately judge a situation and give inspiration for that situation. That doesn't mean that in their lives they have wisdom. They can be just foolish in some other areas, you know, and they may need training and help. So, you know, so also is the gift of word of wisdom, another gift of faith and so forth, gifts of healing, by same Spirit, working on miracles and so forth. Another, discerning of spirits. This is the one I want to talk about. I'm not talking about the gifts of spirit in general today. I'm talking about just this one. Discerning of spirits. And then another, diverse kinds of tongues and another, interpretation and so on. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is the one that does it. To be clear about that. But discerning of spirit is the ability to see and understand the spirit that is behind an action, a thing, or moving a person, or an event, or an occurrence. And they can see it. And they can just know it, even if they were not trained, you know, to figure it out. You know, that's the difference between, you know, the training and the one that's not trained. The gift of design of spirit, when it is in operation, does not need training or somebody, you know, to be able to, you know, for that gift to work. However, you know, by using the gift over and over again, they may get better at it, but it comes from God to start with. Now, we're going to see some examples in the Bible. And I want to tell us some interesting stories. You know, let's spice things up a bit here and see some things in the scriptures. How these giftings work. Now, whether, you know, we can decide whether it's the discernment that's working there or it's the gift of design of spirits. But then let's look at some stories and see, you know, which one is it? You know, what's happening when there are these things? What's in play here? What's in operation? you know, I want to read some stories, some interesting stories, you know, for us in the Bible. And let's see what might be going on here. You know, so let's read. There is an interesting story. Two or three of them I might read, depending on, you know, how much time I have today. You know, let's read a story in 1 Kings chapter 22. You know, now, this is the story of the king of Israel, who at that time was Ahab, you know, wanting to go and capture, you know, this place called Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth was a place in Gilead. And so on. So he said unto Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. Remember, there was Israel, the kings of Israel, and the kings of Judah. For the most part, the kings of Israel were wicked. And the kings of Judah, for the most part, were better. So anyway, these sometimes they are contemporaries. You know, you have one ruling Judah, one ruling Israel. At this particular time, Ahab was over Israel. Jehoshaphat was over Judah. You know, so Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, look, are you going to go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said, well, yeah, of course. I am as you are. My people are as your people. My horses, your horses, everything. So, but Jehoshaphat said something to him. Let's read this story. It's interesting. In 1 Kings 22 and 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, this was a man that was used to inquiring from God before he does something major, like go to battle. You know, so the king of Israel gathered together all the prophets. There were about 400 men. Interesting story. And he said, now there were prophets, remember, prophets. There were 400 of them. That's a big assembly. And the king said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Now, it was the prophets that he gathered. Because this man said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. The way they knew how to do it in those days, many of them didn't know how to inquire from the Lord themselves. So they went to the prophets. So, and the prophets, 400 of them, said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, that's 400 prophets, ladies and gentlemen, said the same thing. With one mouth, they spoke the same thing. Now, scripture says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. When you have 400, that word is absolutely established. That's what people would think. Because God said, we only need two or three. But now, there's not only two or three. There's not even a dozen. It's not even two or three dozen. That's 400 of them that said the same thing. You know, and said, the Lord will give it to you. Go and do it. Now, what more proof do you need? When 400 people are saying the same thing, you only need two or three. Well, here's what Jehoshaphat said. And this is interesting. And this Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides all this? I mean, why in the world would somebody, you have 400 and prophets, 400 and some change prophets, saying the same thing, and yet you're saying, well, isn't there somebody else? Now, I guarantee you, that is a form of discernment. Whatever it was that made Jehoshaphat not to rely on the words of these 400 people that were speaking the same thing in the name of the Lord, and it was a prosperous word, go and prosper. You know, there was something behind it, and that's discernment. There's something behind it. And he said, well, you know, isn't there somebody else? So you don't trust these 400 people? No, there was something inside of Jehoshaphat. He said, well, isn't there somebody else? So the king said, well, yeah, there is somebody else, but he doesn't like me. He hates me, you know, and he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let not the king say so. Well, call this man. Let's hear from him. Now, in the mind of Jehoshaphat, it's like, aha, you know, as somebody that's going to might say something different. Well, let's hear him. You know, the king said, well, I guarantee you that man never speaks evil of, I mean, good of me or said evil. I said, oh, don't worry about it. Just call it. So they sent to this man. It's an interesting story. And, you know, his name was Micaiah, the son of Imla. So they sent to him a messenger. And, you know, the messenger says to him, look, all the prophets have said the same thing and given encouragement to the king to go and prosper. Now, you better make sure you speak in alignment, you know. And the man says, well, you know, I don't know about that. You know, I will declare whatever the Lord puts in my mouth. Now, that's a prophet. That's a real prophet. I don't need to be in alignment with anybody else, you know, but I don't know care what they have spoken. I don't know what they said, good or evil. I'm just going to say, if I speak at all, I will say what the Lord puts in my mouth. I may not speak, but if I speak, it's going to be what the Lord puts in my mouth, not what somebody else said. Hallelujah. Now, that's some prophet, you know. Now, so he comes there, and the king says, ha, you know, Micaiah. All right, here's the question at hand today. Should we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or should we forbear? And the man says, well, why not? Go up. He says it like a tongue-in-the-cheek kind of thing. The king knows that, you know, because of his attitude and his demeanor, he just says it and turns away. Well, yeah, of course, go up. And the man said, look, how many times have I told you, tell me nothing but the word of the Lord? Well, the man says to him, well, you want the truth? You can't stand the truth. You want the truth? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I said, look, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these ones have no master. Let them return to their houses. And then the king of Israel, he turns to Jehoshaphat and says, see, I told you, this man, why is he saying that they have no shepherd? I'm supposed to be the shepherd. You know, I told you, this man never says any good thing about me. You know, and so he said, did I not tell you that? And he said, look, so Micaiah began to speak. Now that he's got their attention, he's going to tell them the way it is. He said, look, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And that's a prophet. You know, and he said, look, and all the hosts of heaven were on his right hand, his left, and so forth. And then the Lord said, look, who's going to go down there and persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? Now, this is something that this man could see. Now, this man is using the gift. There's a difference here. Now, we're not talking about whether the Holy Spirit was upon him in the way that we have in the New Testament now, but this was a gift of discerning of spirits. Because when he got there, all the prophets prophesied the same thing. And he said, well, and he was able to see into the spirit realm that there was a spirit upon these prophets that were not right. Now, Jehoshaphat didn't see any of that. He just didn't, you know, something just didn't click. He was using discernment. Now, this Micaiah man is using the gift, you know, because he said, look, he's speaking into the spirit realm. You know, that's where you use the gift. You are in the spirit realm now. You can see some things which nobody else can see. This man said, look, I saw what's going on in the spirit. The Lord, he had a meeting. So who's going to go down there and make Ahab go down and fall headlong? You know, and meanwhile, Ahab is shaking his head. I knew it, you know. So he said, look, one spirit came out, said this, said that, and so forth. And Lord said, okay, whatever. And another came and said, I will persuade him. And Lord said, how? He said, well, I will go forth and be a lying spirit. Now, this is discerning of spirits, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just thinking something is not right. Now, Jehoshaphat was thinking something is not right. This man is discerning because now he can see into the spirit world. I hope you can see the difference. He might say, look, there is a lying spirit that is upon all the mouth of all these your prophets. You know, there's a spirit behind them. I mean, they're speaking prophetically in the name of the Lord, but it's not from the Lord. The Lord has put a lying spirit upon them. Now that's the discerning of spirits. He was able to discern the spirit at work. Now Jehoshaphat didn't go quite that far. He just knew that, nah, there's something wrong here. And that's discernment. And discerning of spirits actually goes beyond that. You can see what's going on. Hallelujah. That's discerning of spirits. So now you can see the difference. You know, so, and then Zedekiah, who was the chief prophet, you know, comes out, smites Micaiah. You know, because Micaiah said, look, the Lord has spoken evil about you, you know. All these people, they are here to make you go and fall headlong. So Zedekiah, who was one of the chief prophet, comes in and says, smite this man across the cheek. Give him a dirty slap. And say, look, which way did this? I'm the chief prophet here. You know, which way did the Spirit of God go from me to you? I mean, who are you? I have spoken in the name of the Lord. And I am the chief prophet. How in the world? Who are you? Yeah, he said, look, he's smiting and so forth. Well, the man said, well, whether I am anybody or not, you will see in that day when you have to go inside the inner chamber to hide yourself. You know. And so the king of Israel said, well, I don't like this man. Take him and go and put him in prison until I come back. And the man said, if you come back at all, you know, because they come till I come back in peace. And the man said, look, if you come back at all, the Lord has not spoken by me. And this Micaiah, he's not saying this thing in a secret, in a corner. He studied in front of more than 400 people now. But there's 400 prophets. You know, there are some other people around who are not prophets, who are around the king. There's the king of Judah, the king of, you know. There's 400 and some change people here. This man is saying it. Say, look, if you come back at all, we're not even talking about you come back in peace. You may come back wounded or, you know, whatever. Or you come back in peace. But if you come back at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. Now, this man, he has the discerning spirit. He saw it point blank and he can say it and he knows it. Because he has seen it. So it's not a guesswork now. That's why he's able to tell them that, look, the Lord has shown me that these ones have no shepherd. So go back to your homes. That means you're not coming back. But if you come back at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. So you see how the gift of discerning of spirit is so sharp. You can see into the spirit realm. And he can figure it out exactly. He knows. It's not guesswork. He knows exactly. Now, that's the difference between discernment, which Jehoshaphat was using, because it just didn't sound right. I mean, it's like, you know, who are these people? You know, I mean, something wrong. You know, there's a feeling of uneasiness. He just says, well, let me hear from somebody else. That's uneasiness. He had no proof, really, that they are not right, but something wasn't right. You know, he could smell that something wasn't right, but he couldn't put his finger on it. We say, well, let's hear from somebody else. Now, that's discernment. Now, when somebody else comes, he has the discerning of spirits. He can tell which spirit is walking because he can see into the spirit world. That's discerning of spirits, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it works. Now, if you can see into the spirit world, then you have discerning of spirits. If you can't, you don't have it. You know, maybe you have discernment. So, this man, he can see into the spirit realm, and he knew. And it's not only bad spirit. You can also see good spirit. Discerning of spirit works both ways, you know, and so on. So, of course, Jehoshaphat went and died. And that was a story there. Praise the Lord. You know, now, that was an absolute story that can help you see the difference between the discernment at work in Jehoshaphat and discerning of spirits at work in Micaiah. You know, so, you know, well, let's read another interesting story. Not quite as interesting as this one. But in Jeremiah chapter 28, you know, let's read another story. You know, here we're going to see two prophets. You know, another chief prophet versus Jeremiah. You know, let's see here. Yeah. So, at this point in time, Zedekiah was the king of Judah. You know, and Ananiah, which was one of the prophets, you know, he spake in the presence of all the priests and said, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place, and carry them to Babylon. And I will bring them again to this place, saith the Lord." Now that sounds good. You know, I mean, political prophet come in here and tell how, you know, everything will prosper. That sounds good. I mean, it sounds good in the ears. I mean, everybody loves prosperity message. A prosperity declaration of our Lord's going to do good things sounds good to everybody. So the king was happy. Everybody was happy. Say, wow, you know, God is going to give us restoration and recovery in 2 years. God's going to do these things. He began to even demonstrate it. You know, but Jeremiah said, well, you know, this man stood and said his own. Jeremiah came and said his own. Said, well, Jeremiah said this time, said, look, he said, amen. The Lord do as you have said. He said, however, let me tell you this, you know, that, you know, the word which you have spoken, let me tell you, it doesn't line up with what prophets of old have spoken. Now, this man, he knew some other things which he's going to use to guide himself. He said, look, the prophets that were before us prophesied against many countries, against kingdoms of war and evil and of pestilence. Now, when another prophet stands up that prophesies of peace, contrary to what the Lord has spoken in the past, well, when the word of that prophet, the new one that's prophesying peace, whereas the Lord spoke evil in the past, when that word comes to pass, then let that prophet be known that the Lord has spoken by him. You know, so Ananiah went, you know, because the Lord had told Jeremiah to wear a yoke. You know, I think when we were doing our consecration, and I was talking about, you want to know what consecration is? Well, when God tells you to wear a camel's skin inside out, like Elijah, the rough side on the inside. When God tells you to walk naked for 3.5 years, what tells you to put a yoke around your neck like Jeremiah, or lie on your side for 390 days like, Ezekiel, you know, or marry a harlot like Hosea and so forth. I mean, God told these prophets to do crazy stuff, you know, because that's consecration. That's a prophet's calling. And these ones are real prophets. And God called them major prophets. And they didn't do stuff. God puts them through a lot of stuff. You know, and then, you know, this one, God told him to wear a yoke on his neck, Jeremiah, for all the years that they will be in captivity. So this other prophet came here and took the yoke from his neck and broke it and said, "Thus said the Lord." Yeah. You know, just like this, I break the yoke of the king of Babylon and so forth. And he demonstrated all these things. You know, and Jeremiah said, okay, well, you have broken the yoke of wood, but you are going to cause a yoke of iron to come. You're not getting away from the hand of the king of Babylon. The Lord said, if you put your head under his yoke, you will be saved. If you don't, you will die. Now, that's a negative kind of prophecy, but it was what the Lord was saying. And that's how they were going to be saved. And so the other prophecy sounds better. Wow, the Lord will prosper you, deliver you from the hand of your enemies. That sounded better. But was that what the Lord was saying or not? You know, so today, you know, you may hear some thing that sounds nice, that, you know, appeals to the ego, appeals to your inner, you know, self or flesh that wants all this prosperity stuff, you know. But is that what the Lord is speaking or not? Well, Jeremiah's own position was very simple. He was guided by the word of the Lord from previous prophets that had prophesied evil against that place. And he said, well, look, all these people have prophesied evil against this place. Now, if you come and prophesy something else, well, we'll see. If your word comes to pass, then we know God has spoken about you. If it doesn't, then we know you, God didn't send you. So he was guided. You know, so that's another way of being guided. You're guided by, you know, scripture. You know, he was guided by the word of the Lord. You're guided by what the Lord has said, already said. And somebody come and speak something else. Well, then you wait and see if their word comes to pass. Then you know God has spoken by them. If he didn't, then you know God didn't speak by them. Because, you know, this is what God said before. Now, God could have said something before and say something different now. You know, we've seen that in the scriptures. So that's why Jeremiah was careful here and said, well, amen. Amen. I mean, it's all of us want to be saved from these tormentors. But because this is what we have from the Lord currently, if and when, or when and if your words should come to pass, which is different from what the Lord said before, then we know that God has spoken by you. Jeremiah didn't outright say the Lord has not spoken by you. He said, well, you know, I mean, what you say sounds good, but we have this other thing that the Lord already said. If what you are saying now contradicts what the Lord already said, well, let's wait and see. So that's another way of discernment. Now, that's not necessarily discerning of spirits. This is just discernment, you know, by reason of use. He's learned the word of the Lord, you know, from previous prophecies against the place. And he said, well, you know, if what you're saying is comes to pass, fine. Then we know God has spoken by you. Now, in the case of Micaiah, though, he was discerning of spirit. He told it like he saw it. He saw into the spirit realm. Now, can you see the difference? You know, and it was amazing that, you know, what's even more amazing was Jehoshaphat in that particular earlier story. Because he did not have discerning of spirits. He could not discern into the spirit world. But what's amazing is that he knew something was not right. You know, how can 400 people saying the same thing? You know, now if you go into a place today, if you go into an assembly today, or you go on a clubhouse and, you know, all the prophets are saying the same thing, will you be able to discern whether it is the Lord speaking or not? You know, because 400 people were saying the same thing. Yet this man said, you know. You know, isn't there somebody else? So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for discernment. You can pray for discernment of spirits too, but whether he will give it to you or not, I don't know. Because he gives to every man severally as he wills. But we're instructed to desire spiritual gifts. So you can desire and you can pray. But everybody can pray and learn discernment. I'm not talking of discernment of spirits now. That's a gift. Comes. You can see into the spirit realm. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. But whether you have that or not, you can learn discernment. One, by understanding the word of the Lord. This is what Jeremiah was doing here. He said, look, this is what the Lord already said. If you come out here and tell us something different, then amen. You know, so let it be. You know, but, you know, if when your word comes to pass, then we know God has spoken by you. He wasn't using discerning of spirits. He didn't say, I saw the Lord put an evil spirit upon you. He didn't say any of that. He just said, well, you know, prophets that went before us, you know, said it this way. You say something different, then okay, fine. So that's discernment. So that tells us also that, look, you can learn discernment by knowing the word of the Lord. And if you don't know the word of the Lord, you know, you are going to be easy pickings. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the word of the Lord, you're going to be easy pickings for these prophets that like to prey on people. You know, and many of them on Clubhouse. You know, I don't hear them anymore because I don't go to their rooms anymore. But when I first joined Clubhouse, when I was surfing around trying to find, you know, what this Clubhouse is all about, stumbled into many rooms. You know, but I quickly got out of there. You know, stumbled into one place. They're just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I get out of there quickly. go around some other place, find some more crazy stuff, get out of there quickly. Finally, I don't go to any of those places anymore. It's been about 2 years, but I haven't gone into any of those places. But they are all over the place, you know, prophets of convenience, you know, prophets of prosperity, prophets of this and that. I love prosperity too. The Lord loves prosperity of his people, you know, and so forth. But, you know, I will say what the Lord says, not just because that's what people want to hear. But the Bible says in the last days, people are going to heap teachers unto themselves, you know, because they have itching ears that will tell them what they want to hear. You know, what do you want to hear? I'll tell it to you for a price. You can sow $500 if you want a gift of healing. Now, if you want a new house, you can sow $700. I mean, it's like an auction. An auction of all of these prosperity blessings. You know, do I have do I have 500? Do I have 700? Do I have 800? Do I have 1,000? And you just wonder, my goodness, what is this place? You know, and, well, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. You can't change them. You have, you know, the Bible says, get away from them. You know, you cannot change them. You know, but you got to get away from that stuff. So that's the difference between discerning and discernment of spirits. Well, let's see some other examples. In the book of Acts chapter 16, and this is now fast forward to the New Testament. You know, so we're going to see the story of Paul, you know, and Silas on a mission. They're going around, they're doing some stuff. And, you know, there is this girl, you know, that has this spirit of divination. It's following them many days. Well, let's read it from Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, there was a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Well, okay. So initially, they may not have known that she was possessed with the spirit of divination, but this is a story written after the fact. But, okay. And she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, you know, and so forth. And, you know, she cried and said, these, you know, the servants, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. Now, that was a fact, you know, but whether it was the spirit of truth that was saying it or the spirit of error, well, we don't know at this point if you're just reading the story. But she was calling out a fact. These men are the men that show us the way of salvation. Was that a fact or not? Yeah, that was a fact. Did it come from the spirit of truth? Or did it come from the spirit of error? Well, nobody knows at this point. So she did this many days. Now, the fact that it took Paul many days before he was finally grieved in his spirit shows you that Paul was not operating under suspicion. At first, he did not discern it. You know, this girl was following them about, saying this thing about them, and so on and so forth. You know, which what she was saying was actually a fact. But after a while, something stirred up within Paul's spirit. He was grieved. Why was he grieved? Well, the nature of that spirit. He was able now to tap into the spirit. He didn't tap into it initially, but he was able to tap into the spirit realm and then recognize that even though this girl was speaking words that seemed like they were factual, that there was a spirit of error behind her. It was a spirit of divination. And so finally he said, but see how long it took him. It took him many days. Now, spirit of suspicion would have known that right off the bat. You know, but no, it wasn't suspicion, you know, but it was discernment. And he was even discerning, actually, this one was discerning of spirit. He went ahead and finally discerned that there's a spirit behind this girl. And that's why Luke is able to report now that she had a spirit of divination. Nobody knew it at first. You know, she was just following there and telling what seemed to be a fact. You know, and then Paul said, you know, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he's turning to the spirit now. So he's now operating with the discerning of spirits. He's not just telling the girl, well, stop saying that and stop following us. He didn't say that. He turned to her and spoke to the spirit. Now, that's discerning of spirits. Now, he can see into the spirit realm. He now knows that this girl is operating by a wrong spirit, even though she appears to be saying some facts. Now, notice I didn't say truth. I said facts. Because the devil cannot speak the truth. Devil can't give you facts. Jesus say whenever he speaks a lie. Because he's the father of lies. In John chapter 8, you know, around verses 43 and 44. You know, that look, he's the father of lies. You know, and so on. You know, and say, well, you yourself are the children of your devil. You know, your father, the devil. So these things, Jesus said that, look, the devil, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of himself. He cannot speak the truth because he was a liar from the beginning. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, let me call this out here and say that, you know, the devil cannot speak the truth. Here's what Jesus said. Let me just, I'll come back to Paul's story in a minute. But here's what Jesus said. He said, you know, why do you not understand my speech? Verse 43. Even because you cannot hear my words. This is John chapter 8, verse 43. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, who was a murderer from the beginning? Cain. And abode not in the truth. That's why Cain is called that of the evil one. You know, and, you know, he said, for there is no truth in him. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no truth in the devil. He may come up with facts, but there's no truth in him. He may say to Jesus, you know, all these things are delivered unto me. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you to them. Now, those may be factual, but it's not a truth because he usurped it and they were not really given to him. You know, so now he says, look. He says he's a liar. He said when he speaks a lie, that's the devil, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and he's the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you cannot believe me. You know, so Jesus is making us understand here that a devil can never tell the truth. He can declare facts, but he'll never tell the truth. So this girl, back to the story in Acts 16, was declaring facts, following the emperor. But there was a spirit of error behind her. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, the spirit, the gifts of, design of spirits can know that. Can see the spirit that is walking, whether it's a good spirit or an evil spirit. And sometimes people may even be railing on somebody. And the discerning spirit may see that that person has done no evil at all. Even if you didn't know the background of the story. Because you can see. You can see the difference. You can see in the spirit realm. And see that these people they are railing on. This person they are railing on. There's actually a light upon him. You know, rather than darkness. You can see the darkness upon them. Or you can see the light that's upon them. And you can see that there is light actually upon this person. And it's not a fake light. It's a real light. And you know that, you know, they were telling the truth. You know, they patterned, the science has tried to pattern that now by doing this lie detector, the machine. You know, because the devil, he tries to imitate everything of God. Lie detector machine, you know, well, whether you tell the truth, it will beep this way. They tell you, well, tell me something. They start out by saying, well, tell me the truth. Or tell me something that's true. Well, what's your name? You tell the truth. They look how the thing reads. Okay. They're looking for, you know, in electronic signals and different things in your body and so forth, whether your emotion will rise, whether something will spike and all these kind of things. And then he said, tell me a lie. You tell the truth, you tell a lie. And then they have a baseline now. So everything else you say, they try to compare it. But I guarantee you, people have learned how to beat the lie detector machine. you know, they can puncture themselves. They can do all kinds of things and you know how to beat this thing. Or they start out by, when they tell them to tell the truth, you know, they tell a lie at the beginning and confuse the machine. So they tell me your name. You tell the wrong thing right off the bat. You confuse the machine. Well, you can't do that to discerning of spirits. You cannot confuse it because it's the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You know, it will see right behind you, right into the thing. That's exactly what Micaiah did. And that's what Paul did here. He saw through this girl. And God said all kinds of things. Oh, yeah, these are the men that tell us the way of salvation. Well, that seemed like a fact. You know, but finally, Paul discerned that thing and put that spirit out of there. Spoke to the spirit. And that shows you that Paul saw there was a spirit that was moving this girl. And that's discerning of spirits. And he spoke to the spirit and got that spirit out of there. Now, if he hadn't done that, I guarantee you, the devil was setting up the people. After Paul and his company would have left, this girl would now have paraded herself. See, you know, I was with the man of God, you know. Hey, look, we're all together and stuff. You know, and they used that, you know, opportunity to draw many other people into falsehood and her divination and so forth, and use that to, you know, give herself some, you know, accreditation. And look, I mean, you know, I was with the man of God, you know, so what I'm doing here is also, you know, valid, looking for validation that way and so forth. But Paul was able to discern that spirit and he got it out of there. Now, Jesus also, using the discerning of spirit in Matthew chapter 16, you know, after the opinion poll of who do men say I am and so forth, and Peter gave that marvelous revelation, Jesus used discerning of spirit in two ways, right? There is the good spirit and there is the evil spirit. Remember, I said discerning of spirit is not only for discerning evil. You can discern good as well. The first discerning that Jesus did, which was the good, because he's using that discerning of spirits here. You know, I'm speaking as a man now. He says, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So he discerned that the words that came out of Peter's mouth came from the Father. That's discerning the good. You know, now, many others may not have known whether Peter spoke of the Lord or not, but Jesus discerned it. So that's discerning the good. Then a few minutes later, Jesus is telling them, well, the Son of Man must go into Jerusalem and be tried of the chief priests and be put to death and so on and so forth. You know, and then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and say, look, you know, you be that far from you, Lord. You know, that's not your portion. These blah, 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 blah. You know, and then Jesus would discern again. But this time he would discern the evil. And he would say to Peter, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So you now see how Jesus using the discerning twice. First, he discerned the good that came out of the mouth of Peter. Next, he discerned the evil that came out of the mouth of Peter. Now, that's discerning of spirits, ladies and gentlemen. You know, now, what Peter was saying, you know, actually, you know, wasn't bad. Because he was saying that, look, be it far from you, Lord. This thing shall not be. This is not your portion. You know, people say that all the time. This shall not be your portion. You know, there are better things for you to do. I mean, you know, that could go and be killed. No, that's not your portion. The Lord will deliver you. I mean, he began to say many things. The Bible says that Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Read it in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Come on now. You're better than this. You know, that's not your portion. How can you go and be killed? These people cannot kill you. You are the Son of God. We got to tell him a lot of things. We got to rebuke him. Now, he didn't go into all the details of what he said, but if you read between the lines, you know, how do you rebuke somebody? You're saying a lot of things to Jesus. And then these things shall not be unto you. It's not your portion. Well, whatever he was saying, whether it sounded good or not, Jesus again discerned that there was an evil spirit. I was behind the speaking of Peter at this point. So he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Now there are times you need to say that to your best friend. That's right. Well, at this time, Jesus and Peter were best friends. But Peter was the only one that figured out that he was the Christ. And so he was like, he was like a top ranking, with Jesus at that point. But Jesus said, look, nobody could have revealed this to you. He discerned that. He said, but the Spirit of God, my Father revealed it to you, flesh and blood. And he even gave him an accolade. He gave him some things. He said, look, I'm going to give you the keys. Now that you know this revelation, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Told him all kinds of great stuff. Peter was on a roll. The next minute, this same Peter that was on a roll, a devil had got in inside of him, and tried to use him to dissuade Christ from the cross. So look, anything can happen and come from anywhere at you. You got to have your spiritual antennas up. But Jesus did. He had his spiritual antennas up and he discerned that thing and called it out as it was. Called it Satan. He turned to him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's it. Come out of there, I told him. You do not know the things of God, but you only know things of men. So at that point in time, Jesus discerned that there was a spirit of Satan walking inside of Peter, trying to dissuade him from going to the cross for the reason which he came. So that's how discernment of spirits works, ladies and gentlemen. You can see into the spirit realm, and there are some of you that have heard you've experienced discerning of spirits. Sometimes you can actually see into the spirit realm. You can see the spirit that is walking in the spirit realm. I'm going to tell you another funny story. This one happened to me. Many years ago, I was in the university, a place called University of Ibadan in Nigeria. And I went to a fellowship. And one guy came in one day in the fellowship. I think I was in my first year and so forth. And we had some leaders, some spiritual leaders and so forth then. I was just kind of coming in and listening. So this man came in. There's a man that came in from, nobody knew him. We might just say he came in from the street or something. He had this big giant Bible. It could have been a Scofield Bible or some of these big Bibles that were common at that time. And he stood up to give a testimony. And when he was giving the testimony, he said a lot of things. How that he had been an armed robber. How that he had been he just said all kinds of negative things that he had been into. How the Lord had delivered him. And he said all of that and the people wow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How that kind of thing, somebody comes in and says, I was an armed robber. I was a rapist. I was a this. I was a that. And now the Lord has set me free. And he has this giant big Bible in his hand, and so forth. And he comes in the fellowship and gives his testimony. And everybody jumping up and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then a brother comes up and says, well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't remember his exact words, but he just threw that thing down. And I was looking, actually, when this person was speaking, I did not have discerning of spirits, but in my mind, I actually felt that something was wrong. And I'll tell you why I felt something was wrong. Not because I had discerning of spirits, but I felt something was wrong because at the end of the day, he was there to collect an offering. It was there, appealing to the people that, now that he's saved and everything, he doesn't need to be an armed robber anymore. So the people can help him. And where I was, because, I'm usually someone that's not moved by that kind of thing. It doesn't take discerning of spirits with me. That's just me. That stuff doesn't move me at all. Never did. I never will. So he comes down there, says all these things. So in my head, I'm saying, very nice. But, I'm just there. I didn't yield. I didn't respond. I didn't give anything. People are trying to give and so forth. This other brother comes up, who's actually, excuse me, one of the leaders of the fellowship. and by discerning of spirits exposes that thing. Ah, Marco Dashi Tarodobas. You know, and exposed that thing. He just exposed it. And I'm like, how in the world? I mean, testimony sounds good. So, and it turned out that he was right. You know, and I went to him later. I went to the brother later and said, well, you know, how in the world? You know, and he said, well, you know, that's what the Lord showed him. And we found out later that he was right. This man had been going to places and lying, you know, and, you know, trying to pray, you know. Believers can be so gullible at times. Especially, all you have to do is come there, tell them some sweet thing that they like to hear. And everybody jump in and say, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, and I say, wow, what, how in the world? And he told me, discerning of spirits. And I said, He said, well, the Lord showed him. There was a spirit behind this man when he was talking. And many people did not agree that he shot the guy down. But we found out later because people, some people went and checked out his story and it was true. And the brother was vindicated. But many of us were swayed and carried away. I personally wasn't, but not because I discerned by the spirit. I just, something just didn't feel right. You know, for me, it was kind of like Jehoshaphat kind of thing. Something doesn't feel right about that testimony, you know, and so on. That was me, but I didn't discern anything. I was a young man. And then I began to pray. I said, Lord, my goodness, this discerning of spirit, how can you figure this thing out? So, you know, and that was how I began to pray about that, you know, trying to figure out discerning of spirits and so on. You know, so you can see how, you know, my discernment was making me to feel uneasy about the thing. But this brother, he came out there sharp. He just called it out, you know, and I, you know, it turned out that he was right, you know, and so that's how these things work. That's discernment versus discerning of spirits. I'm going to pray over the room today that the Lord will give you and me. Now, there's people here, you know, that have these discernment that you can learn, you can be trained. And so people have even discerning of spirits and you may not know it. Now, let me help you call it out today. When you are able to see into the spirit realm, of course, when you're able to see in the spirit realm, you have to be careful. You yourself might pick up something. You know, people who dwell in the spirit realm, they have to be really careful because you can pick up a lot of things. But, you know, and you also, that also can be trained on how to deal with that. You know, there's some people that can see a lot of things and people that can hear a lot of things. You have to be trained. You can be trained on how to sift what you're hearing, what you're seeing, you know, otherwise they will twist that up too. But, you know, sometimes people can see. You can see the spirit that's operating behind somebody. You can see a dark cloud on them. You can see a light on them. You can see, you know, a demonic spirit behind them when they are speaking. Or you can see something else. You can see the angelic spirit. And you can just see. It's not because you are trying to see. You just see. You know, that's the sign of spirit. Just open your eye. You just see. Just like Micaiah. You just saw these things. You say, wow, you know, this is what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. And you just see it and just say it. And sometimes you will see it. Somebody will be speaking to you. And then you can just see the spirit. I mean, it's kind of like you have an X-ray vision. You can see all kinds of things, you know. And my goodness. You know, say, wow. You know, you may or may not say anything, but you see it anyway. You know, just likewise also you see when someone is speaking under the anointing of God. Even if somebody else calls them false, you can see that the anointing is true. That's on them. You can see it. Praise God. But Lord, just open your eyes. You can just see it. You're not trying to see it. You just see it. You know, so trying to see is the one that is discernment. We can learn. We can look. We can look at the word of God. Say, look, that's not what God of all says. That's discernment. But this discerning of spirit is spontaneous. The Holy Spirit just showing it to you. Whether you know how to deal with it or not, that knowledge, that's a different story. But the Holy Spirit can show it to you. Now, you get somebody that is, and, you know, a more superior learning can help you figure out how to deal with those things. It's not everything you see, for instance, that you have to say. So people don't know how to see and not say. You know, and that's another problem. Even people, they say, well, I have dreams, I have visions. It's not everything you see in a dream, everything you see in a vision that you have to say. And that's where the training comes. You know, sometimes you don't say it. Sometimes you just pray about it. You know, and if you are an intercessor, I can guarantee you this. If God called you into the ministry of intercessor, you will see many things in dreams, visions, and even anyhow, because you are an intercessor. Doesn't mean you have to say anything. You know, God just wants you to pray, and your spirit will not be at rest until you pray. And when you pray through that thing, it's done. You don't need to tell them anything. If God wants you to tell them, he'll tell you. But most of the time, he doesn't want you to tell them. Because if you go tell somebody, for instance, that you see something negative about them, that's negative. And nobody is going to accept that. So you just pray until the Lord gives the release. And you praise the Lord. And the Lord will move that thing. He will avert it out of the way. That's why he showed it to you, not to go and run off your mouth. He just showed it to you. You know, but some people don't know how to deal with that. They go run off their mouth, you know, because they are not trained. You know, later on they'll figure out, oh, you know, I don't have to say anything, and so on, you know, and so on and so forth. So, that, you know, you can be trained for those things. Even when you have the gift of teaching, you know, the gift of teaching is it's actually a ministry, you know, like, you know, we're told in a book of Ephesians chapter 4, you know, that those things are ministry gifts. Even some ministry gifts can be helped, you know, people can help you to figure it out, you know, and then when you figure it out, then you learn more and so forth. I mean, you know, there was a story in Acts chapter 18, you know, about Apollos and Aquila and so forth, you know, and there was this man, you know, later on called, Apollo. Aquila and Priscilla were the people. But Apollos was a man that was, you know, mighty in scriptures, you know, and so forth. And, but he was somebody that he knew the scriptures. He was a mighty teacher, we're told. And he convinced the Jews mightily. He was gifted with teaching. He could break down the scriptures. And by the scriptures, he mightily convinced the Jews, speaking publicly, that Jesus was the Christ. He had the gift of teaching. He could do it. You know, but he knew only the baptism of John. You can read that story in Acts chapter 18. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had seen, they brought him into his house and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know, but he was already an eloquent speaker. He was a teacher. He knew how to break it down. But he only knew one thing. So they helped him. And then he knew more things. So, you know, but they did not help him to get the gift of teaching. You know, he already had that. He was already eloquent, but they helped him and gave him some more understanding and said, oh, now he became even more powerful. You see, so you can see that even the ministry gifts can be helped. You know, that's why you have school of prophecy if they do it right. You see that they already have the prophecy gift and so forth. You know, you can't make them a prophet, but you might see that they have that, you know, and the gift of prophecy is different from the office of a prophet. One day I'll get into that. But, you know, maybe you'll teach them. You can help them. You can help them to learn the voice of God, like Eli taught Samuel. But God's the one that's going to call Samuel. Eli is not going to be the one to call him. You know, but when you see that God is calling him, you know, a call is already there on his life, but he doesn't know it. So the call came from God, but Samuel didn't know it. So Eli is going to teach him how to know it. So this is the difference I'm trying to make today. The anointing, the calling, the gifting comes from God. Nobody can give you that. But people can help you figure it out. Say, hey, you know, that must be God calling you. That's Eli helping him to figure it out. You know, and when he calls you, this is what you do. That's Eli now teaching him what to do up with the call, you know, and so on. Same thing with Aquila and Priscilla helping Apollos figure out how to better expound the scriptures. But he already had the gift of teaching and so on and so forth. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson. And why is this related to our lesson and our series on the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because you need to know, once you get into the spirit realm, you need to be able to discern whether it is the Spirit of God speaking to you, or whether it's satanic, or whether it's even your mind. And if you culture your mind after the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God can speak through your mind. That's what we call impression, and so on. So, but you must be able to discern whether it is the devil, in the cases that we have seen, or it is the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room now, and we're going to yield it for discussions. But don't go away. There's plenty of time to discuss today. You know, I want to hear your thoughts. But I'm going to pray over the room now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our lesson on discernment and discerning of spirits. Now, I pray, even as the scripture says that, you know, it says, well, desire spiritual gifts. So we pray, Lord, help us. And if it please the Holy Spirit, you know, reveal to us that some that already have this gift of discerning of spirits. For others, we can all learn discernment. You know, we can all learn discernment, whether we have the particular gift of discerning of spirits or not. I pray that the Lord will help us, you know, to learn discernment through exercising our senses, be able to discern good and evil. And also through learning the word of God, like Jeremiah knew the word of God and he was not, deceived by somebody else that came to say something different. So Lord, we pray that you help us in the name of Jesus and help us to sharpen our spiritual antennas that we can discern like Jehoshaphat. Was able to say that something's wrong with that picture. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for all your children that are here. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that speaks to us. We give you, Lord, the praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.